This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Kelvin Wong, Oanda Senior Market Analyst in Singapore. Good morning from London. Good afternoon to you, Kelvin.
Good morning to you, Johnny, and good to hear from you again.
Yes, let's, before we look to the week to come, get the latest from you as to markets in Asia Pacific so far.
Yes, sure. So if you look at the current situation in Asia right now, we start to see a spillover of dollar strength coming back into the FX market in today's Asia session for this week. And what's interesting over here, we see a weaker start for the start of this week on Monday, where we see the, almost across the board, majority of the benchmark Asian stock indices are actually in the red, falling right now as we are speaking. In fact, some of them have already closed for the day. So what we could see is that the Nikkei 225 is down negative 1.15%. The Hang Seng indices is down between 0.5 to 0.2% among the bunch of them. And China continues to remain weak. The CSI 300 down negative 0.5%. And one of the reasons why we could see this kind of negative performance in the Asia benchmark stock indices for today, spilling over from last Friday, is actually due to, there's actually a risk about this chatter about currency war coming back into the FX market. So something that is, we got to take a step back and analyze or digest what happened last week, the key things that happened last week. So on last week, we have a slew of major central banks meeting, including the Fed, the BOJ, the SNB, the Swiss National Bank, and the Bank of England. So what we could see is that what the Fed did was came within expectation. That means they didn't actually hike or cut interest rate. So what did they actually still maintain that mantra of not in a hurry to actually cut their Fed funds rate. But what's interesting over here is the dot plot. So they actually came with a dot plot that upgraded their economic forecast, the median economic forecast for this year of 2024. So the annualized real change in US GDP is being upgraded to 2.1% annualized, up from 1.4% that was being projected in the December dot plot. And what's interesting as well also is that the core PCE inflation is also slightly upgraded on an annualized basis for 2024, coming at 2.6%. 0.2% higher than 2.4% penciled in the December dot plot. So based on these two upgrade of the core PCE figure and the real GDP change in US, that actually kind of signaled to market participants that the US Federal Reserve officials' mindset is the definite thinking that the US economy is still in a Goldilocks scenario with a slighter hotter than expected inflationary pressure, but then what was being projected in December. So that actually portrayed to us that the Fed itself, the Fed dovish pivot that was actually being priced by market participants at the end of last year is still around. Yeah, it's still around, but we got to be bear in mind that over here is that the Fed could actually be telling the market, saying that if inflation starts to kick back in the US, and given the fact that the US economy is still in a Goldilocks scenario, we'll be in no rush of cutting interest rate as aggressively as you guys has been priced at the start of this year. Okay, so that actually led to a potential dollar strength coming back into the picture. This dollar strength is more or less being reinforced by the thinking on the action of the other central banks as well, especially the Swiss National Bank, the SNB, who actually cut interest rates ahead of the Fed and ahead of the ECB. That's actually way beyond market expectation, because market is expecting the SNB to actually follow the ECB to actually ignite a first cut in the summer months of this year. That means they are looking at June. But why the SNB, the Swiss National Bank, jump ahead of the Fed and ahead of the Fed and ECB and starts to ignite this first cut of 25 basis points to bring the benchmark to 1.5%? So this is actually, in fact, the first cut since, I believe that since 2007 or 2008 or so. So that being said over here is that they are actually pretty much concerned as well about the ongoing Swiss franc strength, especially against the euro, where we see the euro-Swiss cross rate actually drop to a fresh all-time low on a closing level basis at the start of this year. So with this risk of a persistent Swiss strength going forward, if SMB didn't act earlier than expected, that could actually derail or put a dent to this Switzerland economic growth as well, given the fact that a stronger Swiss franc is actually not so positive in terms of if you look at the competitiveness level of Swiss goods and services. So with this jumping the gun ahead of by SMB and as well as the Bank of England, finally, the officials and the Bank of England governor, Bailey, he actually finally kind of throw in the towel to actually acknowledge that inflationary pressures has indeed cooled off in UK. And those previous two officials that are actually in favor of a hike has already changed their vote to actually in favor to actually stand pat right now. Right now, based on the current outcome that was on last Thursday, there was actually no BOE officials that are in favor of hiking anymore. Okay, so that's actually a very kind of a significant dovish tilt by BOE instead. So net-net, overall, what we could see over here is that we do see this dollar strength coming back into the FX market. So with this dollar strength coming back to the FX market, that actually kind of lead to a very, very watchful scenario for China, because China, since about 1.5 years ago, the property market has really burst. And given this bursting of the property market, the China top policymakers are actually not in favor to reignite that animal spirits in the property market, because they do not want to see another round of speculative and unproductive activities in property development in China. So at this point in time, they are actually in favor of just doing piecemeal basis of pumping in liquidity or even physical stimulus just to support the Chinese economy. So with that in mind over here is that that actually led to a lackluster consumer confidence and retail spending in China. And the only way to actually right now to meet their growth target of around 5%. So bear in mind that the latest China GDP growth for 2024 was being released in that February concluded two session where the China top policymakers still maintaining at around 5%. To maintain that around that 5% growth without any form of massive physical or liquidity stimulus, the only way to maintain this growth is through export growth, that means the external economy. So in order to sustain this robust external growth via export, the China policymaker is very much concerned about the yuan, all right, the Chinese yuan. So if the dollar starts to strengthen against the other currency, it will make the Chinese yuan less competitive against the rest of the world. So that being said, the PBOC guided the Chinese yuan daily fixing, the onshore yuan, to its weakest level in the last 2 months. So that actually saw the offshore yen to actually depreciate against the US dollar to go down slightly beyond 7.2 level. Okay, so that 7.2 level was actually being kept in the last 2 months or so, but it has been breached on last Friday. So with that in mind over here is that market participants now is that if we start to see this pronounced dollar strength coming back to the picture where the Fed itself has starts to tone down their dovish pivot narrative, that could actually potentially lead to a persistent dollar strength trend, which eventually could start to see this China central bank to actually guide the Chinese yuan to much more lower levels, and which in turn could unleash that whatever currency war that was actually being pretty much pronounced during the 2015-2016 Chinese yuan shock devaluation episode, which we know that that doesn't actually gel well to the other currency as well. That means other Asian exporters' currency like South Korea, even Singapore, and that lead to a kind of another feedback loop of post-dollar strength appreciation against this currency and throughout the major's currency as well. And not forgetting that dollar strength coming back into picture will also be detrimental to risk assets. So perhaps even though the sky-high flying major US stock indices that is being supported by AI team play may also catch this negative currency war flu back going forward. So something mindful to watch in these couple of weeks on the FX market.
Well, that's a very thorough explanation, Kelvin. Very interesting indeed. What about the next few days ahead? What are the key points we should look out for?
Yeah, so bear in mind this week will be the Easter week, so it's pretty much of a quiet week, especially for the European markets, because most of the, in fact, all the European markets will be closed earlier this week on Friday, and even extended on the holiday on Monday as well. So, for this week, calendar will be pretty much light. So, one thing to look out for during the in the Asian region will be on Wednesday. So, on Wednesday, we do have the monthly inflation CPI indicator for the month of February for Australia. That is out on Wednesday. So market participants is expecting a slight uptick to annualize 3.5% from 3.4% that was actually recorded in the month of January. So anything that is within this line of 3.5% to 3.4%, nothing too significantly on the upside, like 3.8% or 4%, that could actually keep this ongoing Aussie dollar weakness intact due to the fact that the Aussie weakness also being driven by the weakness in the Chinese yuan as well. And throughout the end of the week, so coming towards the end of the week, we have that all important US PCE inflation data. So PCE, just a quick recap, that is actually the more favorite inflationary metrics that the US Federal Reserve officials are watching. So the core PCE price index, market is actually expecting a very similar rate of increase on a year-on-year basis, 2.8% year-on-year. That's actually unchanged from 2% year-on-year recorded in January. So if you look at this core PCE inflation trend on a year-on-year basis, it's been slowly in a decelerating mode since hitting a relatively elevated number of 4.7% in May 2023. So if it doesn't really surprise us on the upside by going back to 3% year-on-year, that could actually keep that Fed dovish pivot narrative in check for the US Federal Reserve to actually ignite what is the highly anticipated right now, the first rate cut to come in June. But however, if we start to see the core PCE numbers or figures start to turn hot again by breaching at the 3% level, that could actually derail the hopes of that Fed dovish pivot narrative for that first cut to come in June. And also on Friday, we do have Fed Chair Powell speaking as well. So he will speak actually after, it's just a public speech, the usual public speech. So he will speak after the release of the core PCE price data that was at 1 hour before the opening of the US market. So something to pay attention to this Fed Chair Powell public speech on Friday.
Okay, Kelvin, thank you very much for joining us. Have a good Easter break.
Okay, same to you, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse Podcast by Oanda.